Hello and welcome to the Swiss Info Programme. I'm Jo Fay. If you've ever sat around a fire on a camping trip or been trick-or-treating on Halloween, you've probably heard a ghost story at some point in your life. It might have been a silly, over-the-top, gruesome kind, or the kind that's so creepy it leaves you sleeping with the lights on long after it's over. It's a story from this second category that University of Bern researcher Zoe Lehmann-Imfeld remembers reading as a teenager, The Turn of the Screw, by Victorian author Henry James.
The reason I think it's such an amazing story is because you're not actually sure if it is a ghost story or not. It's about a governess who goes to this sort of out-of-the-way house to look after these two children, and is basically on her own looking after them. And these ghosts of the last governess and this gardener pop up and want to get the kids. But right until the end, there's always this feeling of maybe the governess is just mad, and actually she's sort of doing it, and no one else sees the ghost. But on the other hand, it's also not an obvious sort of mad story, and you never do know, and it's never been decided. The main reason I really love it is for all of my years of studying the texts and for all of my years of reading them and picking them apart, I read that one when I was maybe 13 or 14 with my sister. Then when we'd finished, we had to, for one of the only times I can really remember doing this, we had to leave the light on in our room because we terrified ourselves so much.
In case you haven't read it, here's a taster.
In the presence of what I saw, I reeled straight back upon my resistance. Seated at my own table in clear noonday light, I saw a person whom, without my previous experience, I should have taken for some housemaid. She rose, not as if she had heard me, but with an indescribable grand melancholy of indifference and detachment, and within a dozen feet of me, stood there as my vile predecessor. Dark as midnight in her black dress, her haggard beauty and her unutterable woe, she had looked at me long enough to appear to say that her right to sit at my table was as good as mine to sit at hers.
Even though she didn't know it at the time, The Turn of the Screw would play a key role in Lehmann-Imfeld's current career as a researcher in English literature and theology.
I think that must have been the story that put the seed in for the rest of what I was going to do, and I didn't know it at the time. The Turn of the Screw is a really complicated, wonderful literary piece of work as well. So it holds up at both ends, which is unusual. If it's scary enough that you have to keep the lights on, but good enough that you can teach seminars on it, then it's got everything, it's got the whole package, I think.
On June the 21st this year, Lehmann-Imfeld was awarded the prestigious Marieheim Wörthlin Prize by the Swiss National Science Foundation in honour of her unique and groundbreaking doctoral research, which puts a brand new theological spin on traditional readings of Victorian ghost stories, like The Turn of the Screw. Swiss Info journalist Celia Lutterbacher caught up with her to find out what ghost stories have to do with religion, science fiction and outer space.
13 years ago, Zoe Lehmann-Imfeld came to Switzerland from England for what she thought was a brief 6-month ski vacation. But life took an unexpected turn, and she ended up meeting her future husband on that vacation. She decided to move to Switzerland and continue her university studies long distance, eventually earning 2 master's degrees in English and theology. Today, Lehmann-Imfeld has much more to show for that ski trip than an improved downhill form, including a PhD, a lecturer's position in English literature at the University of Bern, and an interdisciplinary postdoctoral research project with the university's Center for Space and Habitability. The Marieheim Wörthlin Prize that Lehmann-Imfeld received this year is given annually in the form of a 25,000 Swiss franc award to one recipient of the Marieheim Wörthlin Grant, which is aimed at supporting women researchers who are balancing their careers with family commitments. Lehmann-Imfeld used the grant to fund the second half of her PhD studies. Before that, she was working part-time to help support her young family, doing research in the evenings at the kitchen table after the children had been put to bed.
I worked for a publishing company in Zurich, and I worked 70% and then was doing my PhD around family and work, which is perhaps doable. I don't know if it would have long-term been doable for the PhD, but what I realise now is that that's not a way to start an academic career, because there's so much more to the PhD than just actually the work that you produce.
Much like her life in Switzerland, Lehmann-Imfeld's PhD research topic, the role of theology in Victorian ghost stories, came about somewhat by happenstance.
Well, I didn't start off reading the ghost stories particularly with a theological bent. I found them interesting as literary works, which I wanted to work with, and I was working a lot with the general cultural preoccupations that were in the stories and what it would tell us about the Victorian preoccupations. And the more I was reading it, the more it was becoming clear to me that there was this sort of religious aspect to it, and that the sort of the evil and the religion were being sort of played off against each other quite closely. And the more I read, the more texts were coming forward that had this kind of, had something in it. And I started to think I needed to look at that properly. And at the same time, it was becoming clear from reading what was already out there that this isn't a way of reading it that literary scholars are very comfortable with.
In contrast to the interpretations of literary historians, Lehman Imfeld believes that ghost stories written during the Victorian period in England, in the mid to late 1800s, were not just about entertaining thrills and chills. In these stories, she instead saw a way for the authors to come to terms with the upcoming turn of the century and with the movement away from religion that this event brought with it.
We have this idea of the Victorians as being very agnostic and very sort of in a crisis of faith, and they all stopped going to church, and the church and the state were for once and for all properly separated, and we have this idea that it's in that time that it really religion stopped being a cultural thing in the same way. And so we read all of the stories, all the ghost stories and all of the literature, we tend to read it in that light, and now they're starting to realise that that's not necessary, it's maybe more complicated than that, and that their sort of theological outlook was more complicated.
I've seen my fair share of horror movies, but I had to admit that I couldn't name a single Victorian ghost story.
People are probably more familiar with the stories than they think they are. And there are two main periods of literature. The first was sort of the Gothic, the early 19th century, Frankenstein, for instance. And what I was interested in was the other end of the 19th century as they were approaching the 20th century. The original Gothic, the early 19th century Gothic, is this idea of having what they thought of as a sort of like romantic situation. They'd kind of go back to medieval times and write these stories, and then having supernatural elements which come into the story. And then the later ones, which I was interested in, they do the same thing. There's this supernatural element which nobody knows what to do with, but instead of having these romantic settings and these big romantic stories, it very much is normal people that we, the authors, would expect us to recognise as being like us.
Although Lehman Imfeld studied mainly short stories from the Victorian era, which tend to be lesser known, there is one longer tale from the genre that I did instantly recognise, and that I think you probably will too.
You know it's no use. Tell them what happened. I beg of you, Jekyll, tell them who you are. Tell them what you've done.
I've done nothing. I'm Dr. Jekyll. I'm Dr. Henry Jekyll, I tell you. You're looking for a man named Hyde. I'm Dr. Jekyll. I tell you, I'm Dr. Henry Jekyll.
It's no use, Jekyll. You'd better come quietly.
The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde was written by Robert Louis Stevenson in 1886. So while stories from the original Gothic era, like Frankenstein, tended to have epic, romantic, supernatural elements, the ghost stories of the Victorian era were more about normal people, rediscovering and confronting the supernatural in their own everyday realities and even within themselves. Which, in a way, Lehman Imfeld says, makes them even scarier.
The idea of someone not knowing themselves and someone being so removed from themselves that they have this darker, they have a darker bit of themselves which they don't want to recognise. It's a sort of extreme version of what happens in all of the stories that I looked at. It's the same sort of thing. It's people having to confront themselves a little bit and realise that there are these sort of dark parts of themselves which they have to deal with. And Jekyll and Hyde just takes that to its most extreme version. But the theme is the theme, and that feeds into the theology as well, of that idea of sort of lost souls and the idea of being far away from yourself and who you really should be.
Lehman Imfeld also gives an example from one author of some of the shorter works she studied closely in her doctoral research.
There's one by M.R. James, who's one of my favourite authors, and he wrote exclusively ghost stories. And they're amazing, and they always have these sort of academic, bumbling scientist men as their main protagonists, who are sort of bumbling through life and coming across old things which they don't realise they should treat with care because they have no superstition. And one of these chaps goes to France and finds this scrapbook and finds it very interesting for its kind of old lore. And all of the people in this French village are sort of telling him in different ways, like, you need to leave this alone, and this is... And he doesn't really listen to them because he doesn't... He's not connected to that world, and he's not connected to a world which might not be neat and late 19th century. And so he opens his book, and out climbs this hideous sort of beast creature which lays its hand on his shoulder very slowly, and it's all very horrible and terrifying. Then he suddenly remembers that one of the girls in the village gave him a crucifix, which he had discarded because it's not his thing, which he swiftly grabs back and saves himself with.
And here's a bit from that story, Canon Alberic's scrapbook.
In another infinitesimal flash, he had taken it in. Pale, dusky skin, covering nothing but bones and tendons of appalling strength. Coarse, black hairs, longer than ever, grew on a human hand. Nails rising from the ends of the fingers and curving sharply down and forward, grey, horny, and wrinkled. He flew out of his chair with deadly, inconceivable terror clutching at his heart. The shape, whose left hand rested on the table, was rising to a standing posture behind his seat, its right hand crooked above his scalp. There was black and tattered drapery about it. The coarse hair covered it, as in the drawing. The lower jaw was thin. What can I call it? Shallow, like a beast's. Teeth showed behind the black lips. There was no nose. The eyes of a fiery yellow, against which the pupils showed black and intense, and the exulting hate and thirst to destroy life which shone there were the most horrifying features in the whole vision. There was intelligence of a kind in them, intelligence beyond that of a beast, below that of a man. The feelings which this horror stirred in Denniston were the intensest physical fear and the most profound mental loathing. What did he do? What could he do? He has never been quite certain what words he said, but he knows that he spoke, that he grasped blindly at the silver crucifix, that he was conscious of a movement towards him on the part of the demon, and that he screamed with the voice of an animal in hideous pain.
I think it's this idea of reclaiming superstition and taking it seriously.
Incidentally, there's one other creature in Victorian literature that fears a crucifix, which might also ring a bell.
I am Dracula. I bid you welcome. Listen to them, children of the night. What music they make.
But the fact that many of the main characters in these stories are scientists or scholars has not been lost on Lehman Imfeld. In fact, she's now pursuing an interdisciplinary, postdoctoral research project jointly with the University of Bern Center for Space and Habitability. For the next 18 months, her research focus will be the role of science fiction, rather than tales of the supernatural, in contemporary knowledge and culture.
I'm looking at science fiction and whether the same sort of questions come up in science fiction. This idea of being confronted with something that you have no idea what it is and that your normal ways of working out the world and categorising it don't necessarily... they're not adequate for what you're experiencing. It's the same thing being played out, and the same anxieties, I think, as well for us. We have this idea that we think we know everything, and we think we can explain everything, and yet there are these aspects of the scientific world which we struggle to... and it causes us anxiety. And the idea is to take some of the questions which come up from the work they do, and especially questions of astrobiology and what are you defining as life? Does it have to be a creature? And so they have all these questions, for instance, things like, could you have, instead of carbon-based life, could you have like silicon-based? And what I'm doing is sort of taking all those questions and looking at what science fiction has done and how science fiction has imagined the possible answers to those questions.
Lehman Imfeld's doctoral thesis research will be published this summer as a book under the title The Victorian Ghost Story and Theology. So what does Lehman Imfeld hope that readers will take away from her work?
It's not that I'm trying to convince everybody to dramatically change the way they read ghost stories. I think however it is that people are reading it is absolutely fine. I think it's more to do with when we read literature, especially the older stuff, especially Victorian stuff and then going back, because we don't tend to have these theological ideas in our vocabulary. It's not something that we're really that comfortable with every day, and we leave it to the theologians, and we're more comfortable just leaving it to the theologians. I think we almost have a sense of that if we start doing theology, that we're almost sort of buying into something which we're making statements about our own beliefs, which we might not want to be making. And I think the trouble is we miss out reading these texts. And so my plan was to reintroduce some of that vocabulary and to reintroduce some of those ways of reading. And I wanted to sort of say, it's okay, you can use all of this theological stuff and you don't have to get on board with it. It doesn't have to be your own theology. We can use it as a tool. It can be something useful and it can be something that helps us to understand what we're reading. And we're allowed to use it without making ideological statements.
That report's by Celia Lutterbacher. Thanks for listening, and thanks to studio technician Jakob Stoller. This programme was produced by Celia Lutterbacher. For more news and features about Switzerland, go to our website, swissinfo.ch. I'm Jo Faye.